This is Christopher Walken, and you're listening to the Fantasy Football Helpers Podcast. Valuable fantasy football advice with some entertainment thrown in. Hey, Todd, it wouldn't kill you to play some competitive sports once in a while, would it?
Yeah, hashtag blessed. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Helpers Podcast. I'm your host, George Banco. It is Friday, October 30th, 2015. This is our daily fantasy football edition for week 8. Here to help you guys win some money in daily fantasy leagues, I am joined by our good friend, Scott Surgeon from Georgia Tech. Scott, what's happening?
Happy Friday, George. Happy Halloween and all that happy horse, you know what? And I'm looking forward to a great podcast today.
Absolutely. Me too. And yeah, Halloween's always a great holiday. It's the peak of fall right now in Charlottesville, Virginia. The leaves are changing. I was walking in the woods with my dog the other day and just seeing the leaves coming down from the trees, you know, and obviously my dog loves the outdoors anyway, but to see him, you know, frolicking in the leaves, he was just so happy. So it's a great time of year. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan. And with that, we're going to got lots to get to today when it comes to daily fantasy football. A lot of good matchups, a lot of good potential stacks that we're going to talk about in terms of quarterback and wide receiver. And we'll also get to some injuries. Scott will give out his weekly bad fantasy advice, and we'll give you some optimal lineup stuff, try to help you guys win some money. So, Scott, without further ado, let's get right into it. Let's start off with the key injuries this week. Now, the big one for me, at least right now, and this has potential to be can blow up in your face if you don't play it right, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not going to have Vincent Jackson at wide receiver this week. Now, Vincent Jackson, I think he went down with a knee. Yeah, he went down with a knee injury last week against Atlanta. And the reason this is intriguing to me is because they have another guy waiting in the wings who's trying to get healthy. Right now, it doesn't look like he's going to play. If I had to say it right now, it doesn't look like he's going to play, but they say his status is up in the air. And that is Austin Seferian-Jenkins, the tight end, going up against, you know, a potential bad defense in Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's defense has improved. They're still not – I would not consider them to be elite. So – and obviously, yeah, Jackson didn't have that injury against the Atlanta Falcons. Sorry, I wrote this down wrong. He had that injury last week against the Washington Redskins. But he's playing the Falcons this week. So if you think that Austin Seferian-Jenkins plays, and obviously we don't know that yet, but do you think Austin Seferian-Jenkins is a good start this week?
You know, honestly, I don't. I don't have a good vibe about him this week. And like you said, the Falcons defense is not Dan Quinn worthy just yet. I think eventually they're going to get there. I just don't have a good feeling about him. You know how you have a gut feeling and you kind of go, you know, you lean one way or the other. You're not really sure why. It's kind of like me hating Andrew Luck. I don't know why, but I just hate the guy. And I'm really glad that the Colts are coming down in flames. But I just don't have a good feeling about this guy this week, especially given this injury. And the last thing that you want to do is you want to leave yourself out there with a guy that's injured, and then, oh, game time decision, he's not going to play. And then, you know, what do you do? So that's the thing that you really got to worry about. So if I was in that position, I would be making alternate plans and go ahead and stick it to him right now.
Yeah, it's a good point. And that's what you just mentioned there. Having a backup plan is so key with Austin Seferian-Jenkins if you want to start him. The reason why he's so intriguing to me, though, is, I mean, this guy posted, you know, 5 catches, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns in week 1 against Tennessee. And another thing that's intriguing about him is he's a bargain right now on DraftKings. He's $2,800 value, which is a complete steal. I mean, that, for a guy to give you tight end one numbers at that price, that's the reason why he's intriguing. But I tend to agree with you. I don't think he's going to play. And if he does, I would consider starting him still just because of that upside with that value. But if he doesn't play, which maybe not, I definitely got to have a backup plan just in case. So make sure you have somebody to back him up with. Maybe somebody, I'm just spitballing here, but like Ladarius Green, because Antonio Gates is out. That's somebody you could maybe, obviously Ladarius Green will be more expensive, but that's my big injury, though, and my potential for you guys. Just something to keep an eye on if you want to take a risk, especially in tournaments this week. Keep an eye out for Austin Seferian-Jenkins. Now, what about you, Scott? What about injuries have you gathered for this week?
Well, there's a couple of them that have kind of have hit me, and I'm a little worried about one of them. It's John Brown from the Cardinals. Now, they're going up against the Browns this week. Now, remember last week, I don't know if we talked about him, but he's in the same situation. He's got a bad hamstring. I don't think he practiced Wednesday or Thursday last week. Friday, he was kind of up in the air. And, George, remember, he had the Monday night game, and so that was one of those where you really could not depend on, hey, it's a game-time decision. And when he gets to the Monday night game, you know, if he doesn't play, then you know, you take a big donut hole right there at zero. Same situation this week where he didn't practice yesterday or on Wednesday, and they're thinking that it might be the same kind of thing. So monitor his status for Friday and Saturday. This time it's not as bad because he's got a Sunday 1 o'clock game, so you know you still have opportunities for alternate plans. Like we talked about, always having a plan B. But John Brown would be a guy that I would really be worried about, especially with a hamstring. They're going up against the Browns. Carson Palmer is hot. Brown is hot. If you have to go a different route, I would go Malcolm Floyd there if he's available.
You mean Michael Floyd?
Actually, I know he's available, but I mean, it depends on the price and that sort of thing. But I like Malcolm Floyd if Brown is not able to go.
Are you talking about Michael Floyd, right, Scott?
I'm sorry, Malcolm Floyd, yeah.
Floyd's on the Chargers, which is easy to get those two mixed up. I just want to make sure that you mean Michael Floyd and not Malcolm Floyd. Okay, because Malcolm Floyd has a good matchup, too.
I get those guys confused with Floyd, the barber from Mayberry, you know, and all that. So, yeah, I think you're the straight George.
Yeah, I just don't want people to go and get Malcolm Floyd and then be like, hey, you told me to start Malcolm Floyd. It's like, wait, no, we meant Michael Floyd. Oh,
there
sorry. I just lost money now. Yeah, no, it's a great point, and that's a really good one, too. I had that guy listed here, too. Michael Floyd, fantastic daily fantasy value. So I'm really excited about him, obviously having a touchdown last week against Baltimore. And once you just mentioned Cleveland, that secondary is really not good at all. The Cleveland defense has been getting run on and passed on throughout the season. So I really think that Michael Floyd has great value potential for daily fantasy leagues. And like you just said with Carson Palmer, a really solid player in his own right, having a very good season. So also the Browns, rumor has it, they're not sure yet, but Johnny Manziel has been taking first-team reps throughout this week. So if he ends up starting too, that's a great possibility that, you know, the Cardinals blitz more. They put it, you know, put pressure on him, and that could lead to turnovers and more opportunities to score for Arizona. Arizona's a really good team, I think. So
I think they've got it going on, and I can't wait for them to play Seattle this year because Seattle's kind of the old guard of the division, and so we'll see if that has changed, especially when it comes to fantasy players. And the Seattle defense not being really what it was the last couple of years, but that'll be something interesting to take a look at. You know, George, the other injury that I had that might make a difference for a lot of people is Anquan Boldin. Same kind of situation with John Brown. He's had a hamstring issue. He didn't practice yesterday or on Wednesday. They're going up against St. Louis, at St. Louis. And as you know, the Rams have a pretty good defense, you know, not a bad football team as they've been in recent years. It's going to be a tough way to go, tough sledding for the 49ers this weekend. And so they're really going to need all hands on deck. And so if Anquan Boldin can't play, it's going to hurt your fantasy team as well. And I was looking on DraftKings, his salary was $4,400. So that gives you a little bit of an idea about Anquan Boldin going into this weekend. But that was the other injury. One of the other things I wanted to mention on that, you know, we talked about a plan B, sticking within that Cleveland-Arizona game. And this is something that I did last week, I had Gary Barnage, the tight end, and he ended up getting the same amount of points as John Brown did. Now, of course, John Brown did play, but if you need a backup, I like Gary Barnage. This guy's put up double-digit fantasy numbers, I think 5 weeks in a row. He had 100 yards receiving or over 100 yards receiving, and the previous weeks he's had touchdowns. So I'd like that as a plan B if Anquan Boldin or John Brown can't play.
Oh, man. Yeah, you just said a whole lot there, and I really liked everything you said. I had a couple points that I wanted to make, and now I'm going back and trying to remember what I was going to say because you just kept saying things that I kept going, oh, I want to add something to this, and I want to add something
all
to
right,
that. But no, I love it. I love it all. I'm just trying. I got to start like writing notes down or something when I do this. But, that's all really good stuff. And like you just said, going back to what you said about Anquan Boldin, I thought about him as well. But the big thing with the Rams are actually a very good passing defense. Now, their run defense isn't nearly as good. They have been run on by teams this year. I'm not sure if that's because, you know, obviously the injuries to Chris Long and I think it's Robert Quinn. But I'm not sure exactly why they keep getting run on. So that's something to keep monitoring as you go along for sure. But I really like all wide receivers against or running backs against St. Louis. I think that's more of a better play. I think Carlos Hyde is a dark horse guy to be pretty good this week, but if he's healthy. But like you said, I can't touch Anquan Boldin just because I believe the Rams' passing defense is too good anyway. So even if he was healthy, I probably still wouldn't go that route. But one quick injury that I have on here, this one isn't as big a deal to me because for some reason the Giants keep finding ways to get interceptions, and that's Prince Amukamara, the cornerback, out with a pectoral strain versus the New Orleans Saints. One of their better corners. Giants have caught a break. They got Matt Castle last week. They were able to pick him off a bunch of times. I think they picked him off 3 times. And now they get New Orleans, which New Orleans, obviously Drew Brees hasn't been the Drew Brees that we know of, the guy who throws tons of touchdowns and tons of yards, but he still has thrown for over 300 yards in 4 or 6 games. He's built some chemistry with Benjamin Watson, who I'm going to get to later. I think Benjamin Watson is a fantastic start this week. And the offense is still generating a lot of scoring opportunities. The Saints are in the top 5 in red zone attempts this season. So their offense is getting down there. It's been more their defense than just overall not being able to stop teams in both the run and pass, which has really hurt them. So, like I said, New Orleans, a really good team. This game has a lot of scoring potential. I'm looking at a lot of guys in this one, including Odell Beckham. I think Odell Beckham is going to be a great start this week. So with these two teams, with Prince Amukamara out, I just really think that you should take a look at some of these wide receivers for New Orleans, mainly Willie Snead. But Benjamin Watson is like the no-brainer for me at tight end. You have to start him this week.
Yeah, I like Ben Watson this week, and like I mentioned, as far as tight ends, Gary Barnes, I like him as well.
Yeah. Let's see. What's targets? Watson led the team in targets in week 6, and last week he was pretty solid. He had a touchdown snipe by Michael Hu. I'm going to try to pronounce this guy's name correctly. Humanawanui. Yeah, Humanawanui. I think that's how you say it. That sounds right to me. That sounds good enough.
It's close enough.
Yeah. So, obviously, avoid the Giants' defense this week. I'm not really confident in them. Benjamin Watson, give him a start at tight end, especially in daily fantasy. He'd be fantastic. All right, Scott, let's get into some optimal lineups. Try to get some people, just the general idea, the core players that we really like in week 8. There's lots of good matchups this week. Let's kick it off with quarterback, though. Who's the quarterback you think should be a core starter for all daily fantasy leagues this week?
Got to be Carson Palmer.
Really?
At Cleveland, and this guy has been hot. He's got a good receiving core. And, hey, who are you, Chris Johnson? Where's this guy come from? This guy is like 115 years old, and he's in there, and he's the second leading rusher in the NFL. So I really like what the Cardinals have done on offense this year. A lot of unsung guys. I mean, like we talked about, we can't even get the Michael Floyd or the Malcolm Floyd. We can't even get the receivers' names right because these guys are so unknown. John Brown, I mean, this guy's got the common name. Everybody kind of, you just don't know who these guys are. And so I really like what the Cardinals have done. Carson Palmer, I think, is a great, great addition to your lineup this week.
So would you stack Carson Palmer with Michael Floyd? Would that be somebody you want to do? Or maybe Larry Fitzgerald?
That's another guy that's kind of resurrected his career is Larry Fitzgerald. I like Brown and I like Fitzgerald with Floyd being the number 3 guy if you had to rank the wide receivers in that offense. But love Carson Palmer this week.
Gotcha. Awesome. Yeah, and going up against Cleveland, and here comes the fan. All right, Scott and I are back. The fan is going on in the background. You could hear it. I know it's annoying, but we only have so much time, so we need to get to some more stuff. So we left off talking about quarterbacks, and Scott made the great point of talking about Carson Palmer, stacking him with Michael Floyd. Really good points from Scott. And on my side for quarterbacks, there's a lot of interesting ones, but I think Phillip Rivers right now is probably the one I'm most certain on. So if you want to take Phillip Rivers and stack him with, Ladarius Green, or because Antonio Gates is out, or, Keenan Allen, that's another really good play to make. Going up against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, the Ravens have surrendered multiple touchdowns to five opposing quarterbacks in seven games this season. The only quarterback that didn't throw one on them was Peyton Manning in Week 1, which kind of go figure, considering he was the guy who threw, you know, six touchdowns on him. Ah, the fan's off. Thank you, fan, for being off. Peyton Manning was the only guy who did not throw one against the Baltimore Ravens in Week 1, and like I just said, he had that six touchdown game a while back, so it's just kind of ironic and shows you how far Manning has fallen over the last couple years. But the Ravens are they rank dead last against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy points. They're giving up 21.1 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. Melvin Gordon, the rookie, he's still been struggling. He's still yet to find the end zone as a rookie. He's yet to score a touchdown, and that's not a good sign for the run game. Phillip Rivers is basically forced to be the guy who throws them back into games because the defense isn't very good either in San Diego. So they rely on Rivers so much to throw the ball, and they do have good weapons at wide receiver. Keenan Allen's good. Stevie Johnson's been pretty good. Malcolm Floyd and obviously Ladarius Green has been very solid this year. So I'm really banking on Phillip Rivers. I'm featuring him in two of my lineups right now for Daily Fantasy. So what do you think of Rivers, Scott?
I like him, especially going up against the team that's ranked dead last in pass defense. I rolled Carson Palmer last week, and I was going to roll with John Brown if he was healthy, and Palmer put up great numbers. No reason to believe Rivers won't. And the other thing that you've talked about Rivers, George, to think about is he throws what, about 50 times a game with that non-existent running game. Melvin Gordon is out to lunch. Danny Woodhead, of course, is running back, but he's more of a PPR kind of guy where
yes.
he just on the backfield. So Bill Rivers, he's going to put it up 40, 50 times a game.
Great
I have
point.
No problems with that, especially with the worst pass defense in the league.
Absolutely. And, yeah, Phillip Rivers on pace to break, I believe it's Peyton Manning's record for most yards in a season. So, yeah, he's been just throwing. So he's as surefire a bet to throw for 300 yards as any quarterback. And, you know, he's still not considered the most highly expensive quarterback. I mean, there's still like four or five quarterbacks who are more expensive. So he will save you a little bit of money, too. Some more stats on Rivers. He averages about 5 red zone passing attempts per game, and he had 13 passing attempts in the red zone 2 weeks ago. So that's a lot of pass attempts. To put that into perspective, when Tom Brady and the Patriots beat the Jets last week and they basically did nothing but pass for the entire second half, Tom Brady had 17 red zone attempts. So just to show you, there's a lot of opportunity for Rivers to score. So he's one of my favorite quarterbacks. Also, Scott, I'm going to go with your home team here as another one of my favorite stacks, and that's Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. Going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs, a horrible secondary. On paper, they look good, but for some reason, teams just keep passing on them like crazy. And Stafford has been playing better. I know you hate to say it, but obviously, there's another component here, considering that the Lions they got rid of their offensive coordinator here, Joe Lombardi. Is it Joe Lombardi or Joe Lenardi? It's one of those two things. But
it's Lombardi because, trust me, I've seen his name every week, and I'm like, how can you trash the great name of Vince Lombardi? And actually, this is Vince's grandson, Joe Lombardi, who got canned last week. So it's one of those where it's an oxymoron. It's like, how can a guy named Lombardi go down in flames like that?
Exactly. Go figure. But I have read some reports, and I'm posting a link to this article within this podcast in the write-up. The Lions, there's rumor going around that they're going to open up the offense more this week and let Stafford kind of do his thing and just chuck the ball deep, which against Kansas City is probably a very sound strategy, don't you think?
I think so. But the thing that I'm wondering, and I'm kind of on the same page with you, I mean, the offense is going to open up, and my boy Jim Bob Cooter, who was a backup quarterback in Tennessee, so I know Jim Bob very well.
Nice.
Being a Vols fan and all that. So
Jim Bob.
Lions. I mean, that was the, you know, how much better could it be? They're going to open it up. But the thing that I'm wondering about is that why didn't Lombardi open it up? And I think the reason why is because, yeah, maybe they tried to open it up, but the offensive line was so porous that Stafford didn't have time to set up and that sort of thing. And remember, George, The number of downfield targets over 20 yards was very minimal. So I hope that they start opening up the offense. It'll be interesting to see what Jim Bob Cooter does this week to get the guys ready. If the line will block, then I think Stafford and Calvin are going to put up some great numbers this week against the Chiefs.
Absolutely, and we've seen it with Stafford. He had a 4-touchdown game not too long ago. He's had 6 touchdowns over his last 2 games and just 1 interception. So if he's able to come out and light it up, this has the potential to be one of his best games. And I think if you stack him with Calvin Johnson, that's the payoff for that is huge. And Stafford is even cheaper than Phillip Rivers, so he's going to save you money in that regard too. So you'll be able to go and spend money in other positions. So I really like this matchup this week. I'm featuring Stafford in another one of my tournament stacks with Calvin Johnson. So we'll see. Hopefully that works out pretty well. All right, let's move on. We did touch on running backs. I wrote an article about running backs earlier, but I want to hear Scott's opinion as well on running backs this week. So I'll post a link to my running backs article. But Scott, who do you have for your core guys for running backs this week?
Well, the two that I had for the core guys, and we kind of poo-pooed this guy, but last week he kind of proved us wrong, was Chen Cardrick. I can't even say his name.
Chen Cardrick West. Yes.
You know, he had over 100 yards and a touchdown last week against the Steelers. And looking on DraftKings, he's only 4,700, George. So I really like him this week going up against the Lions. Again, we did talk about the Lions on the offensive side. But on the defensive side, I think the Chiefs are going to have some opportunities to put up some points and put up some yards. So I really like him. And an even better value play than West is Chris Johnson. He's only 4,600. And I like what the Cardinals have been doing. Like I said, he's the second leading rusher in the NFL right now. So when I saw he was at 4,600, I was like, man, that's got to be a steal.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to what you said about West, I know there's kind of a big debate this week in terms of waiver wire pickups, who you want to play. And Darren McFadden is another guy who a lot of people are talking about. I actually like, and this could be just years and years of getting burned by McFadden, even though I was lucky enough to get him in 2010 when he was actually good for a season. He's had so many injuries and whatnot. I don't consider him to be an elite athlete. I consider West to be a little bit more athletic and at a better point in his career. Plus, you know, he had over 20 carries last week, which, you know, he's not Jamal Charles. Nobody really is. But he has the potential to have high volume in that offense. So I really like your Chikandrick West pick, and I'm going to be putting him in one of my lineups as well this week. So I'm really excited to see what happens there. And when going back to what you said about Chris Johnson, are you worried at all about David Johnson and Andre Ellington eating into his carries?
You know, not so much, because I think that if Johnson was the number one guy but hadn't put up the stats and hadn't put up the touchdowns, he had a beautiful touchdown run where he bounced off about 18 guys, broke tackles, and ran into the end zone. So I think that he's captured a little bit of that magic from his 2,000-yard season. Was it 5-7 years ago, whatever it was? So
I think he's 5 years ago now.
where the other two guys are just kind of spelling him for a time. So I have no problems at all with those guys. I don't think they're going to take away a majority of his carries. I think you're ready to roll with Chris Johnson this week.
Yeah, it's a good pick. It's a really good pick. It's a good value pick as well. So, all right, let's move on. Let's get to the wide receivers. Now, we already mentioned Calvin Johnson. For all the reasons specified earlier with Matthew Stafford stacking those two. I also like Julio Jones, go figure, against Tampa Bay. Julio Jones, after seeing just one red zone target over the last 3 weeks, he saw 3 last week and scored his first touchdown against first touchdown since week 3 against Dallas. The Buccaneers are not very good against the pass. I believe they're 4th worst in terms of giving up fantasy points to wide receivers. They've allowed 100-yard games to multiple receivers this year. Kendall Wright had 100 on him, Allen Hurns, DeAndre Hopkins, and they allowed multiple touchdowns for Ted Ginn on the Panthers, too. This is a bad secondary, so I really like Julio Jones this week.
That's a good one, and another one for you. You know, we talked about the stacks, but I'll give you the other side of this. It's Stephon Diggs for the Vikings going up against a Bears defense that's unbearable to watch, to coin a phrase. And Stephon Diggs, he's kind of become Teddy Bridgewater's main target in Minnesota. And he's only at 4,800 this week, so I really like him.
Yeah, great one. Really good one.
A lot of people don't know about this guy yet, so that's the other good thing about him.
Yeah, most of the fantasy nuts who, you know, follow this stuff regularly probably know about Diggs by now, but people who haven't, he's clearly the number one receiver in Minnesota, and you know he had that beautiful diving catch last week, one of the probably the best catch of the week, and this guy is amazing. It's incredible how these guys just kind of come out of the woodwork and they're so talented, and you're like, how was this guy not starting before? But yeah, he's clearly the guy. Hopefully Bridgewater gets better with his accuracy. He's had some problems this year, but going up against Chicago, like Scott just said, Chicago a bad secondary too, so there's good potential there for Diggs to have another great week. He had over 100 yards last week, so I really like that pick. Let me just get into some bargain wide receivers really quick. I had Stephon Diggs at 4,800, like Scott said. The Bears, third worst against wide receivers, giving up 26.3 points, so there's another stat there, another stat that could maybe sway you to start Diggs. Also, like Stevie Johnson against the Baltimore Ravens, $3,200. That is a low price for a guy who's going up against one of the worst secondaries in the league. You can stack him with Phillip Rivers as well, and that is a really cheap stack. That's probably only costing you like $9,000 because I think Rivers is like $6,600, something like that. So that's a really good value there. So those are my two biggest bargains this week, Stevie Johnson and Stephon Diggs.
I like it. I like it. And moving over to the defense real quick, George, I know this is kind of an overlooked position sometimes, but I really like the Jets at 2,900 going up against the Raiders. And I really like Seattle this week. They're a little bit more at 3,700. But you look at Dallas, they've got Joseph Randle as AWOL. They're going to use Darren McFadden, who could probably get injured walking off the bus into the locker room. And you got Matt Castle. So this isn't the same Cowboys that they're going to be the Seahawks are going to be facing. And Dez Bryant, he could play, he couldn't play, you never know.
He's probably going to play, it looks like, right now. So if he does play, I mean, he might actually make that matchup a little bit more difficult, but you still got Matt Castle. You still got him going up against a really good secondary that could, you know, pick off any pass. So I still think it's a really good play, but yeah, Dez definitely will help the matchup a little bit for Dallas. He just has to because he's an amazing talent. But yeah, so that's a really good one. Both of those are really good. You mentioned the Jets. What intrigues you about the Jets?
They're going up against Oakland, and you know Derek Carr.
But Oakland's been pretty good lately. Amari Cooper's been good.
I think Cooper's been good. Carr is not going to make anybody forget about Kenny Stabler or Daryl LaMonica. I will say that.
Yeah.
But I think the Jets are really coming into their own as an offense. And the other thing I was going to mention is if you have Latavius Murray benching this week because the Jets' rush defense has been excellent, and so I don't think Murray's going to be able to do much. They're going to have to rely on the pass game. I think that's going to play right into the Jets' hands.
Gotcha. All right. Great stuff. We did neglect the tight end position, so I guess we'll kind of wrap up our optimal lineups with that. One of the guys, we mentioned Ladarius Green. He's a good option. I think Scott's pretty high on Gary Barnidge. That's another one. Another good bargain kind of guy I like is Delanie Walker on the Tennessee Titans going up against the Houston Texans. The Texans are in absolute free fall right now. They're coming off a horrible, like an embarrassment against Miami where they allowed, you know, Ryan Tannehill to throw four first half touchdowns. This is a team that one of the worst defenses in the league. It's amazing to me what they would do if J.J. Watt wasn't training in a cabin in the offseason. If they didn't have that guy, I don't know where they'd be. But at tight end, Delanie Walker is probably one of my favorite bargain guys this week.
I like that, and I like Martellus Bennett. That's another good one. And Larry Donnell from the Giants. Those two were ones that I had on my list.
Nice. What do you like about Larry Donnell?
He's going up against the Saints. The Saints are 28th ranked as far as giving up yardage and touchdowns to tight ends. I think the Giants are kind of peaking right now. I think Eli is going to be slinging the ball around and kind of with a non-existent running game. I like Larry Donnell because I think Eli can go to him, whereas they're going to be covering Beckham and they're going to be covering Randall. I think Donnell is going to definitely have some opportunities to catch the ball.
Nice. Good stuff. Good stuff. I wanted to get one more sleeper out there. And this one, I'm stealing this right from an article I read. I think Matt Harmon wrote this on NFL.com, and he took a really good stat from a guy from NumberFire, I believe. And that's Duke Johnson, the running back for Cleveland. Now, he's going up against Arizona, a very good defense, but one of the things you have to remember is Arizona is actually not great against running backs out of the backfield. They give up some of the most catches to running backs because they blitz so much. So when, you know, teams rush, Johnson slips out into the flat. He catches a pass, and Johnson has been really good these last couple weeks. I don't know if you've checked his stats lately, but he's been a PPR machine. You know, catching touchdown passes, and that's something that he could add as a flex play. You know, he's a great bargain. So I really like Duke Johnson Jr. For Cleveland this week, going up against a tough defense, but a defense that is one weakness is running backs out of the backfield catching the ball. So Duke Johnson, that is his strong suit. I really think you should start him this week at the flex spot in one of your daily fantasy lineups.
Totally agree. I think that's a good way to end on the lineups, George.
Let's do the bad fantasy advice.
We got to do bad fantasy advice. I was just going to say about Duke Johnson, that's the difference between the NFL and fantasy leagues. You know, you don't really know much about him, and you don't really respect too much about Duke Johnson. But you look, you know, in the fantasy line, it's like, wait a minute, this guy isn't as bad as people make him out to be. So
absolutely,
definitely keep that in mind. As far as the bad fantasy advice, George, have you ever heard about the Heidi game?
The what game?
The Heidi game. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take you back in the Wayback Machine to 1968. Jets at the Raiders. Both teams were the kingpins of the AFL. The game went back and forth. Pretty much whoever was going to win this was going to be favored to win the AFL championship. The game went back and forth. Like I said, the Jets got a lead with a minute to play, but the game had been running long. So it was about 7 o'clock, and it was time to click over. NBC had to click over to the movie of the week, which was Heidi. I guess it's a movie about some girl up in the Swiss mountains and billy goats and cheese and whatever was going on. So what they did was they switched from the football game to the movie, and in the meantime, what had happened is the Raiders had scored 2 touchdowns while they were clicked over to the Heidi movie. So nobody saw that the Raiders made this great comeback. Everybody assumed the Jets would win it, and it didn't happen. There was a big outcry for it, and it's a very famous game. And so the Heidi Bowl 2 is going to be this week. It's in the Coliseum. The Jets are back to play there. So if you have any Jets on your team, they're going to go down in flames. It's going to be the Heidi curse. So if you have any Jets on your team, I'm talking about Fitzpatrick, Chris Ivory, Brandon Marshall, get them out of your lineup because it could only be bad news, okay?
That's
for you listeners and for George. You know, I know this is probably a little bit before your time, but look it up because it's a very famous, very controversial football game in the annals of the AFL at the time and now the old NFL.
Oh, that's awesome. So what's going to happen to the Jets? Am I going to flick over to the different, you know, to Heidi or whatever, flip over to a different channel, and all of a sudden I'm going to look up and the Raiders are going to score a bunch of points, or is it going to be the Jets this time? Is it like a revenge game?
It's going to be the Raiders. I know I poo-pooed Derek Carr and all that, but you can't go up against the mystique and the storyline of the Heidi game. So
yeah.
I think what's going to happen is it's going to be neck and neck, and then at the end, the Raiders are going to score about 4 or 5 touchdowns. Nobody's going to see it, but
everything's
going to happen. So if you have any Jets in your lineup, get them out of there. If you have any Raiders, definitely play them this week.
Absolutely, yeah. Everything logical you said about Carr from earlier, throw all that out the window because this whole theory shakes everything up. All right, well, that wraps it up for our daily fantasy football edition of the Fantasy Football Helpers podcast. If you guys want to try out Daily Fantasy, we always put a link here to sign up for Yahoo. They're one of our affiliates. Definitely check them out. They're fun to use. And we'll hopefully catch you guys again next time. Scott, as always, my friend, it was an absolute pleasure, and good luck with all your leagues this week.
Good luck to you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Get lots of trick-or-treat candy and all that kind of stuff, and we will see you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, take care.
Fantasy Football Helpers Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Now give me a big bowl of pie with some ice cream on it. Good.